Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Dun, 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 dun. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. FSC. It is not the money man, JT. He should be joining us shortly. But, you got the man, the myth, the legend, myself. Along with me is my guy, the Joker, Why So Serious Jeff. As Tom Brady enters this previously arranged engagement, as we start our show. So what I'm going to do right now is let Jeff jump on the microphone and talk to the millions and millions of Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew Show fans and say hello.
Hey, Vic. It's nice to be doing the show with you. I think the big news today is everyone's still talking about the Deflategate statements, that investigation. I don't know if it's big news all over the country. I don't think it is. But the big news in the New York area where I reside is that Isaiah Thomas is coming back to New York to be president and co-owner of the WNBA New York Liberty. Unbelievable. And I think a lot of folks are afraid this is Thomas's foot back in the door to maybe get involved with the Knicks if things don't work out with Phil Jackson. So everybody's buzzing about that.
You know, I had not heard about that, Jeffrey. And we can talk about that, too. You have got to have information for everybody on that, young man, because I have not heard a peep about that. Well, of course, I'm at work and not listening to the radio and stuff like that, but that's pretty interesting news because, you know, Isaiah, as you said, was the coach of the Knicks for a short period of time, and it was a disaster. It was a straight disaster. And Phil, you know, is now the GM and all that. So there may be some validity to what you're saying. I'm not sure, but it might be. So what we're going to do, I'll let you say that. Well, you know what? While we're waiting for Jerry and Tom Brady to come on board and all that stuff, expound on that for the listeners out there. And if you want to chime in, ladies and gentlemen, on what Jeff and I and whoever else jumps in is going to say, you can dial 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. And we'll more than likely bring you on and hear what you have to say. But, Jeffrey, let's start the conspiracy theorist right now about Isaiah Thomas. Talk to people. Let's hear it.
I mean, I think it's odd. I mean, everybody said that James Dolan was good friends with Isaiah. It must have been to keep him around. You know, if James Dolan still wants to be friends with Isaiah, that's his business. But, like, if you hired a friend for a job and it was an absolute disaster, you could still be friends, but you wouldn't bring him back to the job, you know? James Dolan, you know, he got his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. And
that's about right. Old money.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, he's a joke as an owner, turned the Knicks into a laughing stock. Isaiah, and I'm guilty of this, when, you know, he's a Hall of Fame player. And sometimes it's easy to forget that. I mean, a great player. Sometimes when a great player like him becomes a coach or an executive, you know, you get excited, and, you know, and frequently the great players don't always make great coaches and great executives. And Isaiah had a pretty shabby track record before coming to New York with the Pacers, and he was commissioner of the CBA, which he destroyed, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I mean, I could see if Isaiah was desperate or something and Dolan felt compelled maybe to hire him as a scout or a consultant or something, maybe that's the next step. But, I mean, Isaiah, he did have his – I guess his one good point was he was pretty good at evaluating talent, especially towards, you know, the end of the first round, second round. I mean, I think he was the one who drafted David Lee with the 30th pick, which, you know, it's pretty good for a pick at the end of the first round. And, you know, but the problem with Isaiah is you couldn't trust him to make trades because – you trade for these, give up too much for horrible guys and totally ignore, you know, the chemistry aspect of it. And he is absolutely despised in the New York area. I can't even tell you. I mean, I thought they would just put his picture up at the airports and just like, don't let this guy get off the plane. He had, and then one of the ironies is, you know, he's going to be president and co-owner of the New York Liberty, you know, which is owned by Dolan. You know, Isaiah was involved in that sexual harassment lawsuit. And yeah, despite the fact that the Knicks lost the lawsuit, but they didn't hold Thomas liable, but it meant he did it. And he still denies it, you know. Like, oh, don't listen to that jury. I didn't do it, you know. There's a lot of BS flying around this week.
Well, you know what? There's some stuff going on there, but Tom Brady just got on the podium, Jeff. And Jim, is it Gray? Jim Gray?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. He's up there, so I know he's going to ask him the questions about the Spygate stuff. But he's speaking at Salem State University. And, you know, everybody was clapping for him and happy for him to see him. But, you know, the question about the Flategate has to come up. As far as Isaiah Thomas goes, I truly, truly am not very, you know, confident in the fact that he's going to hurt or help, you know, the New York Liberty. You know, I believe at one point, he was supposed to be financially backing the WNBA. It was either him or Magic. Somebody's supposed to be financially backing the WNBA. To bring him back into the area, yes, he'll have contact, but will he be some sort of managerial, in some managerial capacity of the Knicks? I don't think so, man. I really don't think so. I know that's your area and that's your group, but you know, once bitten, twice shy, you know, and it's very difficult for me to think that this organization, the New York Knicks, who went out and took a former coach, made him the president and GM, or just a GM, took a recently retired basketball player in Derek Fisher and made him the head coach. You know, it worked with Jason Kidd for the Nets, but that they're two different types of players and leaders. So I think they're going to ride this one out. I don't think Isaiah is going to dip his toes in that pond. At least I hope he doesn't. But at any rate, there's a bunch of stuff going on And right now Tom Brady's getting introduced. They're giving all this accolades and all this other mess. I don't know if you're looking at it or if you have an opportunity to see it. But let me get your thoughts as Jerry keeps blowing up my phone on this whole, you know, the findings of Tom Brady had to have had some knowledge of it and these text messages to the you know, the Patriots staff member who apparently was worried a little bit. Talk to me about that.
You know, I mean, common sense says Brady was well aware and probably orchestrated it, you know. Of course, innocent till proven guilty, but that's in a court of law, not the NFL. And in the past, I think Roger Goodell, for whatever reason, doesn't fully understand that or due process. And then, of course, the league, you know, they're so shady, they have to think of all the public relations ramifications. I mean, this is huge because this is Tom Brady, you know, big-time star player. But unfortunately, you know, the Patriots have a history of breaking the rules. I mean, I wonder if they're going to come down on Belichick because even, you know, hey, they came down on Sean Payton for not knowing about it because they said he should have known. So I'm curious if they're going to come down on Belichick. Of course, Goodell's buddy-buddy with the Patriots owner Kraft, but this is huge. They can't sweep this under the rug. I think, I don't know, my gut instinct is Brady should get suspended for 4, maybe 6 games, knock it down to 4. I've heard he might get suspended for a whole season. But, you know, if they pull that, then he might file a lawsuit or whatever. You know, the whole thing is just really weird, really bizarre. A lot of BS going around this week.
Well, I'll tell you right now, you know, the question he was just asked of him, it was the first question that Jim asked him, and he's answering it right now. But he's basically saying he really hasn't thought about it too much. He's taking his time, so he hasn't formulated an answer, which is, you know, to protect himself. And, of course, Salem State University, so everybody's all upset that Jim asked the question, but it's a question. You know, it's on the tips of a lot of people's tongues. You know, it is what it is. He says that hopefully soon he'll be able to answer the question and talk about it. But here's the deal, man. We've got a guy that's the face of the NFL, so to speak. You know, he's the chosen one. And Richard Sherman, a while ago, told us, you know, Tom Brady, you guys, he's not the Tom Brady we see on the football field. You know, and Belichick, there's already been something stated that nothing's really going to happen to the Patriots or Belichick or Robert Kraft because they were found to have no knowledge of the situation. So the question then becomes, if you punish Tom Brady off of the information and you punish the staff member who no longer works for him, what do you do? Someone threw around the fact that if he has been lying all this time, that you do it for a year. And to me, I mean, this might sound a little harsh, but I'm saying he's A-Rod. He's Ryan Braun. Deny, 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 deny some more. In Ryan Braun's case, it comes out that he was, you know, he admitted to lying. And, you know, after that big ceremony at the stadium, then he has a quiet press release saying he's sorry for lying. A-Rod still hasn't said he did roids. He legally has not had to say that. And he hasn't. Tom Brady is a very good quarterback. He's one of the best quarterbacks. Based upon the system that he's in and stuff like that, he's won 5 Super Bowls. To me, 2 of them have asterisks. No, they've won. How many? They've won three. I'm sorry, and gone to five. So, to me, Spygate, of course, have an asterisk. This last Super Bowl, in my opinion, should have asterisks as well. And the problem that a lot of people say is, well, the Colts had to stop them. The Colts had to do this. Yeah, but I think about it this way. Had the Colts had the same balls, it wouldn't have been so many drops, in my opinion, that Andrew Luck had. Yes, they still had to stop LeGarrette Blount. Yes, that is so true. But it's an unfair advantage no matter how you look at it, in my opinion. Unfair advantage across the board. I'm going to let you get your words in, but we have a call from the 240. Haven't seen this number in a while. I think it's my cousin. I'm not sure. But your thoughts on what I said before I bring my cousin in, or the caller, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, this thing is very complicated. It really is. And I'm sure the NFL's big concern is, you know, what are the media and the sponsors and, you know, and then last, the fans, what are they going to think? It's a unique situation. And I think, though, Brady really crossed the line. But to me, I mean, the whole process is with the balls is with the footballs is so stupid. I mean, they get to fix up the balls the way the quarterback likes, you know, with the scruff it up a little and all that. Okay, I get it. And then they get checked before the game, and then they give them back, you know, an hour or so before the game. That gives them time to mess with the balls. I mean, they should check it and keep them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it doesn't make sense, you know? It's very, very strange. And there's a mountain of circumstantial evidence. And the Patriots have been have the least amount of fumbles since 2007. And I don't know. I think those underinflated balls had something to do with it. Like, that's helped Amendola. He used to fumble a lot. All of a sudden, he comes to the Patriots and – you know, he's injured for half the games, of course, but the half that he played, he wasn't fumbling. I think they're guilty. I think they're very guilty.
I have my feelings. I'm going to save it for a minute, but we have two callers now, one from the 202, which is Washington, D.C., which I know, and 240 is in that same area, but I want to bring that caller from the 240. Please state your name. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew Show.
Slim, you already done said my name. You know that number. Stop acting like you don't know, Slim. What's wrong with you?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to mute you, but you don't stop it. He's been off of our airways for a very long time, and I know Jerry's going to be mad that his running buddy is not here. I mean, that he's not here to get with his running buddy.
No, he ain't. He know why. He know why I'm calling today. Because he told me you was going to be on today, and you know why I'm calling. But we're going to talk about what you're talking about now, but you know why I'm calling today.
You already know. For that is Saturday.
I don't care, Slim, because you be disappearing. Yeah. I don't know when you're going to be on, when you're off, when you're disappearing on some fake mission somewhere. I don't know. I got you right now. But we can talk about what you're talking about right now.
Well, I greatly appreciate you letting us do our show the way we want to do it. But here's the question. Now, I don't know your feelings on you know, Belichick and Brady and stuff like that, but the report states, you know, more than likely Tom Brady had to know, so on and so forth. To me, a lot of the evidence shows that, yeah, he had knowledge, as well as the text messages between he and the individual that was supposedly handling the balls. It's speculated that the text messages between Brady and this individual were, are you okay, you know, you on break, you want to do this stuff, you know, that type of stuff. Now, there's a lot of probable things that could take place. There's a lot of, well, you know what? Somebody had to know something because it happened, and
he did throw better in the second half. Even Brady's agent says this was a witch hunt concocted by the Colts and the NFL to implicate Brady and the Patriots. I don't know how true that is, but if they brought the information forward beforehand, and Brady's agent is saying, why didn't you notify the Patriots of it before? Well, dummy, this is just me talking. If we tip them off that we have knowledge of it, you're not going to do it again knowing we're looking for it. That's my belief, and trying to debunk what Brady's agent is saying. Did he do it? Did he have knowledge of it? Holding that football and, you know, getting it to the way he likes it versus the way it was in the first half, there had to be some knowledge of that, in my opinion. Because you can tell the difference between the ball you threw in the first half and the ball you threw in the second half. And the way it came out was different. So no, this isn't a matter of whether the coach would win or lose the game. That's not the case right now, in my opinion. It's more on the lines of, did he lie or didn't he lie? So that's the question that I'm posing to you, Mike. On this situation.
I mean, anybody with, Ray Charles can really see what's going on here. You know, Brady is dirty. He dirty. But I just think this is really trivial compared to, like, the types of things that they've done in the past. It's just another indicator of, you know, who they are. They've always been that way. And I'm talking about the entire New England organization. You know, I mean, they've always been that way. I mean, this is not nothing new. I mean, I'm not surprised. I'm not trying to go through the innocent to proven guilty type nonsense with this, because it's been right there all along. And then it's too trivial. I mean, with the balls a couple of inches smaller, a little bit deflated. Yeah, he did it. He did it. He needs to stop fronting, stop faking. But, you know, he not gonna say nothing today. Tom Brady never says anything. He only says what the media wants him to say, smiles with his pretty wife and stuff like that, because that's what he's supposed to do. Tom is just going to do what he's supposed to do. They found an edge. You know what I'm saying? They got caught. You know what I'm saying? Slap him on the wrist. Give him a game. Miss me with this, because this is just ridiculous. Because you know daggone well they ain't going to do too much to this dude. They not going to do too much to them. They not going to do too much to New England. And then if you do too much, it will be too much, because this is really trivial. This is borderline. This is like borderline stupid. Borderline stupid. Because watching that game with the Colts and watching that game with the Seahawks or whatever, nah, man. You gonna miss me with that. There was way too many other things that was going on that really couldn't give them that much of an edge. It gave Tom an edge, you know what I mean? But I just can't, like, nah. Give him a game because he lying and not being forthright with it. But, you know, you expect them not to say too much. And then I don't need them text messages because he ain't say nothing there. He too smart. Because look how he handling the media now. He always been like that. So, nah, it don't surprise me. So, that's all I got to say about it. I think he lying. I think he did it. I think the entire organization know. And that's it.
Okay. Let's bring in that other caller from the D.C. area. I believe it's our brother from another mother, the man. Is this Black the Boogie Monster?
This is the Boogie Monster in the flesh. What's going on, my friend?
Nothing
hey,
at all.
Black, welcome back.
Thank you. Even though I'm in the state of mourning, it's good to be here.
Well, before we get to the state of mourning, because I do want to talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs and the loss of our great, great point guard. We'll get
please.
To that in a minute.
Don't say
well,
his name.
We have a couple. We got. I didn't say his name. I just said point guard position. I want to get your thoughts on this whole deflate gate. And, you know, pretty much the question I have is, did Brady lie or didn't he lie? And if you felt that he lied, what do you think the punishment should be? Based upon all the other punishments that Roger Goodell and the NFL have handed down to other players and organizations.
I believe Brady is from the school of George Costanza. It's not a lie if you believe it. I think that's his whole philosophy. It's not a lie if he believes it. So his mind is not a lie. But he should be suspended for the season, man. Patriots get away with too much. Fans are not going to do it. I saw William Roden this morning on CBS News talking about he should be suspended for half the season. Hell, suspend him for the whole season. Let him sit and think about that. Let's start the Garoppolo era this year and let Brady come on back next year. Right? They get away with too much. Ever since that Raiders game way back in the day, I've had a hatred for the Doc Vader team up there in New England, known as the Patriots. So let them sit out the year.
I think that would, to me, if he did have straight up a lie up and down, even though you probably won't find it, unless the ball guy or whoever the staffer is comes out and says, yes, he sent me these texts. Yes, we did discuss this, that, and the third, which I don't think is going to happen. But if that were to come out.
Doesn't he have an autograph deflecting the ball from him?
I believe so.
Yeah, he should be gone, man.
Well, that's the thing. Will they do it? You know, they'll suspend or fine Marshawn Lynch for not talking to the media.
Oh, right? But they'll better do it. Or he'll be out. He better do it. The backlash will be unbelievable.
And that's what I'm getting to. Just because he's Tom Brady, just because he's this golden boy, so to speak, doesn't make him exempt. Now, I've heard a lot of athletes, gentlemen, say, we try to find a competitive edge any way we can up into the line. We push the limits in all of our sports, doing things, taking things that are just on the line in order to get a competitive edge. Jordan Babineau, or the Babineau that's on NFL AM, he said, this morning, so if Brady cheated, what about the defensive lineman that puts tape on his jersey so that he can't be grabbed or held? What about the DB that has his pants above his knees so the knee pad doesn't get in the way? Are they cheating like Brady? Now, I'm not saying that putting tape or Vaseline or anything like that on isn't cheating or giving a competitive advantage. But let's look at the scenario here. That D lineman faces that offensive lineman all game long for the most part, back and forth. You know, grab him, pull him, hit him, smack him in the head, whatever the case may be, to try to alleviate the situation. We're talking about, and the pants on the players. Okay, so you got them above the knee, so your knee pads are in, but they're not covering your knees. Okay, whatever. But if the Patriots were able to negotiate the field with a different ball than Andrew Luck and the Colts, that's a different type of competitive advantage, in my opinion. Why? Because I have no way to adjust to that. I can't fight that. I can't, you know, have the ball and smack it around and try to figure out a different way to make it even for me versus that quarterback
and his offense. But regardless of that, he's a golden boy. The smile, the wife, the kids, the house, the money, you know. But will he be touched? Will the NFL touch him? Vincent, is it Vincent Jackson? Not Vincent Jackson.
Troy Vincent?
Troy Vincent. Thank you very much, Jeff. Thank you. Troy Vincent has a tough job right now. Do you suspend this guy based upon this report and the carefully crafted wording of this report? That's the other part. The verbiage in this report, a lot for speculation. So when and if Brady does decide to fight it, the union has to step up and say, well, you know what? He's not indicated. There is no concrete evidence. Da-da-da-da-da. Okay. Well, there was no concrete evidence of an indictment. Well, there was an indictment of Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy was not convicted of you know, the domestic violence. But yet he's also suspended for 10 games. This year, the team put him on the executive list last year. I'm talking about the Panthers. And now the Cowboys are going to lose him for 10 games this year. He's getting treated as if he was guilty.
Now, well, excuse me, Hardy was guilty, actually.
I know. I got it. Based upon the evidence, I got it. But remember, we're talking about the letter of the law here. If we're going to say
no,
suspended,
no, Victor, you're wrong.
He got
convicted, and then he appealed it. And then he got dropped.
Exactly. But they're suspending him for the 10 games based on what? Because
because he got convicted.
No. Yes, but the process, the due process, it's always about due process. The process doesn't end with that one conviction. The process ends when there are no more charges and it's been fully resolved. So now the process is fully ended. There is no conviction because that other conviction has been overturned. You got to remember.
You're splitting hairs.
No, because you got to think about it. If a person is found guilty of anything,
I think Greg Hardy is not going to work for your argument. I think the little youngin from Baltimore will work better for your argument. He'll work better for your argument. Hardy not going to work for your argument.
Well, you know, Ray Rice admittedly said some things and did some things. He says that he gave full disclosure. The NFL said they did, that he didn't. Turns out Ray Rice told the truth and the league lied. But Ray Rice is the one that's suffering. He's the one that got blackballed. Okay? He got his 4-game suspension, and then he got fired, cut, and nobody's willing to touch him. So, and I also look at the fact of what happened with Adrian Peterson. Now, to us, to most of us, that beating or spanking is what we are used to. Of course, that's not what the NFL wants to portray and stuff like that. So they put him on executive player list or whatever the case may be. And then he comes back, and he's still this bad guy because he beat his child with a switch. The organization says one thing, and then when he gets reinstated, they say another. Now they don't want to trade him. He doesn't want to be there, but he's going to be there because it's $13.5 million on the table for him to get this year. But yet, these men were put through the ringer because of whatever, Tom Brady. Now his name is getting besmirched. There's sufficient evidence to say that something happened. The issue is, was there knowledge of it from Tom Brady? And a lot of people that aren't Patriots fans say that there is. The report says more than likely or probable. People get arrested for probable cause and get sentenced to prison sentences for probable cause. As Jeff said in the beginning of the show, you know, that's a legal term. Well, how do you fight it? How do you fight? If the information shows that this man had text messages between the other guy, the attendant, and there was previous evidence that a ball was deflated from a previous game, and he admittedly said this is how he likes his balls, and this is what he does to him in practice so he can have a better grip and throw better and stuff like that. I'm not a lawyer, but I play one on this show. To me, like Black said, I agree with the one-year suspension. I really do. Let the Jimmy Garoppolo era begin and see what happens. You know, will he be a Hall of Famer? He's got the rings. He's got the talent. But two big black eyes, Spygate, which was Belichick and his folks, but that was Brady's time. And now, he still won the Super Bowl. Well, you know, Butler won the Super Bowl for the Patriots, but Tom Brady led them there. Is there an asterisk on those Super Bowls? Is there an asterisk on his career? How many times has he lied? Another question that was brought up by Dan Haley on NFL Network was, if they are found, the Patriots and Brady, to be found to actually did something bad, are they considered two-time offenders because of Spygate? And if so, what happens then? It's crazy. It's very crazy out here. Very crazy out here. I want to get off the subject matter. And the last football matter I want to talk about before we move on to basketball is Lionel Collins.
I'm going to explain it.
Because this kid, we can relate it to Tom Brady. This kid was not even a person of suspicion. The police never said that he was. And yet, a number one, consensus number one draft pick didn't get drafted because the NFL was afraid of what's going to happen or what might come about. I get it, the Aaron Hernandez situation going on. You want to separate yourself from everything. But they're saying this kid is guilty and they don't want to take the risk. I get the business side of it. I get the business side of it. But that doesn't mean you don't draft them. You can draft them and don't sign them if something does happen. At least if you're in the seventh round, draft him. I know he said he wouldn't sign with a team if they tried to sign him after the third round. So what? Then he has to find he can walk on and do what he did anyway with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
3 years, 3 years, $1.7 million or whatever it is he got, you know. But the league painted a picture off of reports on this kid from LSU, and it killed his possibilities of making tons of money. And now he goes to the Cowboys, the team he chose, which I think is a good move. I think it's a good move. One, he can learn from those guys, if not take a job from one of them. And he gets to pick. He had people lining up. You know, our guy, Ray, not Ray, Rex Ryan, sees him trying to take him out to dinner, so on and so forth. Why don't you draft me, though? Cost you a lot less to do it this way, but now I have the power. So let's talk about that real quick. And since it's a Cowboy family, go ahead, young man. Talk about this and your thoughts about Mr. Collins. The whole situation.
No. I'll let the round table go ahead. I'll say my thoughts for last.
All right. I'll go because, Victor, you said something that kind of just made me laugh.
I mean, you said you see the business angle of it. You obviously do not. You do not see.
Here we go.
Look, let me tell you something. this young man's agent is probably one of the most masterful agents you're ever going to see in your life. And you ain't even see that. This man.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Youngin's agent.
I know. I said it's the best thing for him. It's the best thing for him.
Right.
He can pick where
it was
he wants
to go. Listen, hold on. This was a masterful business move, because this youngin put it out there. I mean, because there would have been any team. You could pick any one of them 32 teams that would have took a flyer on this youngin in the fourth round. That was the consensus. Then this youngin come out and say, look, I'm not signing it. Draft me. So nobody drafted him. They didn't want to be bothered with none of that stuff. Why? Because the agent told them. The agent put it out there, man. This was probably one of the best masterful agent moves I have seen in my lifetime. Now this youngin over there at the Cowboys, I'm not hating. I think it's a brilliant ass move. I'm not hating at all, dog. And I do not like them freaking Cowboys. I can't stand them.
So here's
this
the question.
What
did I miss? Because that's what I said.
No, that's not what you said, dog. That's not what you said. You ain't say nothing about none of that. You said nothing about none of that. You glossed over it. You didn't even peep it.
No.
You didn't even peep the move.
Here's the deal. It's a great move on his part, but the better move for the organization is to draft him. Why? Because you own his
It might have been a mess for
you know, whoever drafted him as far as PR goes, but when you own the rights of the individual, the team he chooses to go to, when you don't sign him, has to negotiate with me, the owner of the team that has his rights. So therefore,
right,
I have something back.
Right.
Okay.
Here's the part you're missing, and I'm gonna walk through it real slow. Do it real, real slow. I'm gonna talk to you like you're a fourth grader, and it's not because I think you're on a fourth grade
going.
Level, but I'm just gonna talk. I'm just gonna talk slow, so you can see it and hear it. There was inquiries made about this, about what the police were gonna do and what they weren't gonna do. Information was not given on behalf, because this youngin's agent told them not to. He told them not to. So they was not going to touch it. They weren't going to touch that. That was too messy. They would have took a flyer on him, like I said, in the fourth round, right? You can pick a team, I don't care. What color, what team, it don't even matter. They would have took it. But they did not, because they couldn't get any information on that investigation. They wouldn't give up anything, nothing. So they was just like, if we draft them, it's going to be a problem, right? And then we don't even know exactly what is going on. We're just going to stay away from it, period. Masterful move, Slim. That was a masterful move. Look. If your kids play football, you need to go ahead and sign them up for that agent. You need to sign them up. That's a bad dude, Slim.
Well, let me get Jeff's thoughts. And because we got another topic that we got to go to. But go ahead, Jeff.
You know, the Lyle Collins situation was very unique. And, it's... You know, unfortunately, if there's a, you know, murder or something like that, there's a lot of people the police want to speak to when it doesn't make them suspects. And, I think they said he was at the police station a little more than an hour. If they thought he was a suspect, they would have had him there a lot longer. So, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that, because that's a heavy accusation. And at this point, it's more clear he is not a suspect. Yeah, I tell you, I hate the the concept of it. Come out of high school, you come out of college, you don't have companies drafting you and telling you where you're going to work. You know, you could choose, and your employer could choose. And I think it's a restraint of free trade. It really is.
Okay. Let's bring it back around to the Cowboy fan and get his thoughts on the whole situation. Go ahead, Black.
This is a wonderful move by that young man. Knowing the stuff that he was going through, he passed his polygraph. He set the stage up for where he wanted to go. But a little small tidbit. His agent is also the agent for Gregory. So you know something was in the works behind the scenes as well. But I won't touch on that. We have both of those guys.
That's interesting.
Some wonderful football Cowboys. And I'm excited to play some football. I can't wait for the season. I can't wait.
Well, I tell you what. The Cowboys did a damn good job in the draft and retooling for this season. I can only imagine the pass rush they'll have once Gregory is, you know, in good form and Hardy returns from suspension. The concern now, I guess, for the Cowboys would be can Darren McFadden duplicate the numbers of, you know, DeMarco Murray? In fact, can he stay healthy? I think the answer is yes. I don't know if he'll duplicate the yardage and the impact.
No, he won't duplicate it. We're, all those guys are going to get touches behind that line. Trust me.
I can see that. And something else that we didn't mention is today Ed Reed retired. He officially retired. He signed a one-day contract with the Ravens to retire. And Amari Cooper is the first round pick to sign along with Devontae Parker. So Amari Cooper with the Raiders and Devontae Parker with the Dolphins both signed their contracts and are now officially NFL players. This is going to be an interesting season. I respect the Cowboys. I still don't like the Cowboys. They're a bunch of hooligans. I'm just joking. But Jerry Jones, and I've said this many, many times, Jerry Jones knows how to take care of his players. He knows how to take care of that organization. I'm not mad at Collins for going to the Cowboys because it's a smart move. He knows that once he outperforms his 1 year, the first year of his 3 year contract, Jerry Jones is going to tear it up and give him a big one. He knows it. Because
How about the fact that Jerry Jones won Executive of the Year last year and then found a way to flip not one, not two, but three first-rounders out of a first-round pick?
Well, it wasn't Jerry. It was his son. His son did it.
We're not talking about Steve. We're talking about Jerry. Okay? Give that man his props.
It was Steven Jones. But you know what? That's enough of Cowboy talk. I just puked in my mouth a little bit. NBA playoffs. Bradley Beal's hurt. John Wall.
No. Bradley Beal is 100% ready to go.
Okay, I thought he was.
That ankle is fine.
But John Wall, he's done. He's done. Which is going to hurt. He missed, especially in this series. But not Lionel Collins. Who's the guy that you said you were excited about, Black?
Lionel Collins.
You mean you think you're talking about Sessions?
Ramon Sessions. Well, he's excited about Lionel Collins for the Cowboys, but Ramon Sessions is not going to impact the Wizards the way John Wall did. I mean, you had a very good of starters. The bench players were you worried about. I mean, Otto Porter and Sessions were probably the better bench players. But Sessions moves to the point guard for the remainder of the playoffs. I still think the Wizards are going to go to the Eastern Conference Championship. I just think it's going to be tougher now that John Wall is gone. Jeff, since you don't have a horse in this race, sorry, brother, tell us how you see the Eastern Conference playoffs going with between the Hawks and Wizards and Cavs and Bulls. And guess what? Jerry just jumped in, but go ahead, Jeff.
I mean, I don't follow the NBA that closely. The Wall injury looks huge. I mean, Atlanta didn't look that impressive against the Nets, but I don't know. I think they'll beat out Washington. I mean, needless to say, great player and very important position. And Cleveland, they should make it to the conference finals. And I was just before the show, I read that Kevin Love, who I always thought was kind of a jerk, he won't accept the apology from Olenek, the Celtic guy who injured him. He's not a dirty player. They were going for a ball. I mean, there's always pushing and shoving and whatnot. As long as you're not like poking a guy in the eye
Hello?
Or throwing a fist, it's basketball. It ain't tiddlywinks. I mean, Love is. I mean, I know he's ticked because he's at the end of his
Hello?
Contract, but he's a fool. Yeah,
Mike, you're still here. You're still here. Jeff was talking.
No, I couldn't hear anything. Yeah, I couldn't hear anything.
Okay. Well, I agree with you, Jeff. He's a fool for not accepting the apology, but you got to think about it, Jeff. He's done for the entire playoffs. And, dislocated shoulders, it can happen again. It can happen again. So I can understand his issue, but at the same time, dude, be a grown man. You know, there's going to be hard fouls. There's going to be people trying to hurt you. Like, I was at the game with the Grizzlies and Golden State, and I was like, why isn't anybody hitting Conley in the face to, you know, get him out of the game and out of the series? He just had surgery. I understand the sportsmanship of it all, but
that would be so Bush League. Why would you even be rooting on for that?
Well, listen. You got that guy. Every team has that guy on their bench. That's your go-hard guy. That if he does that hard foul and gets ejected or suspended or whatever, it'll be worth it in the long run. As opposed to getting beat and losing a series. Because Conley is the difference in that series. I know we're not on that yet, but Conley is the difference in that series. But real quick, since we're on it, I got Jeff's thoughts on that. I'm going to actually go to you three guys or you two guys about the two different series between the Clippers and and Houston and Golden State and Memphis. And then I'll bring Jerry in real quick. But give me your thoughts, Black, on the Memphis-Golden State series.
Oh, man, that's a Coney Island and boys. They played some good defense in that second game. I expect that one to go either 6 or 7. That's going to be a good series.
Well, yeah. Also, Golden State didn't play any defense in that game. Trust me, I was sort of close. And the refs,
they're really not known for defense besides Draymond Green and Iggy. They're really not known for defense, but that's going to be a good series.
Yeah, and the refs were paid off or whatever, in my opinion. I'm just saying it. But, Mike, I don't know if you've been watching the Houston and Clippers series. That looks like it's going to be a very good series. Dwight Howard showed up in the second game. What are your thoughts about that series?
It's just a matter of time before the Clippers just take this. I am not a Dwight Howard fan. I honestly am not. I honestly think that you and I could take them, and I'd let you even throw the first punch. You probably could drop them. Dwight Howard, not feeling that dude. I just think he's really soft. I think Doc is gonna be too much. Doc and did Chris Paul come back yet?
No, he's not back yet. But you didn't even touch on the other issue in this series. Matt Barnes disrespecting Harden's mother, talking about suckers' manhood. You know how fast Matt Barnes would have been on the hospital stretcher had I been in that game?
Mm-hmm.
But see, that's what I'm saying. You had that one go-hard guy.
Come on, Matt Barnes. You can't do stuff like that, man. I would demand his mom in the audience, and you saying that whole phrase to his mother? Come on, man.
Yeah, that was a little ratchet, man.
I got it. But you need somebody to get people out of your game. I mean, the Bad Boys did it with Dennis Rodman, and then Dennis went to the Bulls and, you know, helped it. But
they wasn't doing
mind.
Stuff like that, Slim. They wasn't
Them dudes you talking about,
you come down the lane, you liable to get clotheslined. You liable to get a fist to your stomach. Or, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You liable to get that type of stuff. But that was ratchet. A little ratchet.
Well, let me bring the elder statesman in here, as we got 2 minutes left in the show. Get your thoughts real quick, JT. Your thoughts on the entire NBA playoffs and, yeah, Matt Barnes, if you can do it in 2 minutes. Okay, I guess Jerry's not going to jump on. The 678 number, I thought that was Jerry. It must not be. But, at any rate.
I don't know I don't know if your lines is open. It's the NFL Exporter.
Oh, my bad. That's Lance. All right, Lance, go ahead. I thought you were Jerry for a second. Your thoughts
That's
on
all right.
this,
Yeah, I wanted to touch on. Looks like I missed the show, so I just sum up just real quick. I think the back to the East Coast real quick. I think the Chicago series is going to go 7, but I still think you have the best player in LeBron James on the floor, and quiet as kept as much as Kevin Love did, average 16 points and 10 rebounds on the season, as much as he did finally have one game where he kind of got in his rhythm and groove. It's not that big of a loss for Cleveland. Kevin Love was not that instrumental part of their team throughout the course of the season, so playing without him is not that huge of an adjustment. So I think the Bulls can push it to 7, but like we've seen last night, they're a team that can really struggle from the field at times. So I like Cleveland winning that series. I think I heard you guys correct. If John Wall is out for that entire series, you got to give
it. Don't mention his name, like you're hurting my heart right now, man.
Yeah, if John Wall is out that entire series, then that's it for Washington. With Wall, I think they beat Atlanta, because I think we all knew that Atlanta, even though they had the best record in the Eastern Conference, certainly weren't the best team. We've seen them struggle a bit with Jersey. So I hate the way that all these injuries, Chris Paul, even Bradley Beal kind of sprung his ankle, John Wall, Mike Conley. I mean, Lord, it's about probably another 3 or 4 other players. Kevin Love, we're missing. So a lot of injuries, but I like Cleveland. The other series, I think Atlanta will win if John Wall is not able to play. As far as the Western Conference is concerned, I have to come back to another day, because I was one of the few people who foresaw or thought that the Clippers had a realistic chance of beating the Spurs, which is exactly what they did. I liked them. I told everybody that if they knocked off San Antonio, their confidence, and that was really the best team for any team in the West, was to play San Antonio in the first round, because if you were able to beat them, that confidence would carry over. I think we've seen that in game one with the Clippers. So I think we obviously want to monitor Chris Paul's health. But I think that's a series that the Clippers can win if he comes back. If he does not come back, it really, I think you give Houston a slight edge there. The other series, I still like Golden State. But as you mentioned, Mike Conley, definitely the key. He's never going to be an all-star because the West is so loaded. He's never going to jump ahead of Dame Lillard, CP3, Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, James Harden, too many guys. But Mike Conley definitely ended up being the best Ohio State product from that team that was out there with Greg Oden, who never flourished so much. And that's going to be a great series. So, I think it's going to be a great second round of action. But injuries, obviously, are holding some major weight in how these series are going to turn out from what they potentially could have been.
Truly, truly, it will be worrying overtime. I'll take you maybe 10, 15 minutes because I know there's someone on this line that wants to talk to me about certain fights. So what I'm going to do right now, gentlemen, because we're not going very long in overtime. My thoughts, I think the Wizards can beat Atlanta, and I think they'll go to the Eastern Conference Championship game and face the Bulls, and the Bulls will win. I think the Bulls will take on the Golden State Warriors or maybe Clippers, but I'm leaning toward the Golden State Warriors a little more, and that's going to be a very, very good series, a very good series, either way you look at it. The winner, I don't know. I saw that trophy up close that Steph Curry got the other day, and I think that pressure got to him and everybody else because they looked awful in that game. I don't know if the pressure of winning is going to happen that way when it's time for the championship. I hope not. We'll see what happens. But I think the NBA Finals will be a very, very good Finals. With that being said, the doors of the church are open for 2 minutes for this Pacquiao Mayweather fight. I talked with Jerry, and we both agreed that we wouldn't get too deep into it, or whatever the case may be. I have my feelings on what happened. I'm going to go around real quick and get your feelings before we go off the air. I'm going to go Jeff, Black, and Mike.
You know, I didn't see the fight. I'm glad I didn't see it because it's a ripoff. And a lot of this stuff afterwards, it sounds like pro wrestling type stuff. Like they're trying to set up the rematch, which is an insult. Sorry, guys. I got to go. It's been a pleasure. Catch you next week.
All right, Jeff.
All right, Jeff.
All right, Jeff.
That fight went exactly as I expected. It went exactly like I expected it to go. I was at a fight party with nothing but pro Pacquiao supporters. And playing the 10th and 11th round, it got real quiet in there. The drinks were still flowing, but it got real quiet in there. I don't think that there'd be a rematch. I saw Floyd maybe an hour or two ago said no to the rematch. He called Pacquiao a sore loser. He's not gracious in the law, so Floyd's already shut down the rematch. But that fight went exactly like I expected it to. Floyd's a defensive fighter. It's not going to give you anything more than that. If you want to see some action, though, this Saturday, Canelo versus Sterling, HBO. My boy Canelo, tune in to watch Saul. Should be a very, very good fight.
Canelo and Kirkland.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's...
Well, wait a minute, Mike. I'm going to save you for last. I'm going to save you for last. Lance, your thoughts on that fight?
Yeah, real quick, same thing. I mean, honestly, and it felt very awkward feeling that way. I didn't even bother watching it. I mean, it just, you know... I basically knew nobody wasn't going to get knocked out. And, I mean, I've watched Floyd Mayweather. I've seen Pacquiao over the – well, Pacquiao, he's gotten knocked out about three times over the last 5 years. So I didn't see him as a fit competitor. This was more or less just the fight that everybody wanted to see 5 years ago. So it finally happened, so everybody watched. But I had no interest really in it. I mean, you knew nobody was going to get knocked out. And, I mean, that's really the core and essence of boxing, which the sport has completely gotten away from for the most part. You know, you still see the young guys and some other weights. But at the end of the day, I knew that Floyd was a better fighter. And I knew it was going to go 12 rounds. It was just going to basically be a tap fest, a jab fest. And all I needed to know, for anybody who thinks that Manny Pacquiao won this fight, all I needed to see was the CompuBox stat numbers, which I always look at when a fight is over. And anytime that somebody is landing 19% of their punches, basically 2 out of every 10 punches thrown, Floyd landed more punches to Pacquiao's head than pretty much Pacquiao landed his whole body. But if you're only landing 19% of your punches, and then probably out of those 19%, what, maybe 2% are power punches, waste of time. I don't care what I'll listen to what other people say. Again, if somebody is landing 19% of their punches and they've landed 80 punches over a 12, basically you're landing like five punches a round, no way you're going to win a fight. No way you're going to be the champion. I think we all know in boxing that whoever the champion is kind of a silent rule. They come in with a half point to a point edge. It's up to the challenger to beat the champion. And from everything I've heard and seen, Manny Pacquiao did not beat Floyd Mayweather.
All right.
I was surprised he even threw his hands up after the fight. Like, come on, dude. You barely won 2 rounds.
Go ahead, Michael.
I got a song for you. The name is Floyd. The name is Floyd. The name is Money Mayweather. Hey, look, let me tell you something. I thoroughly enjoyed that fight. I made $2,500 on that fight one night. That was the best. That was a better investment than Apple. Better investment than Apple. I'm sorry. You know, we've been telling these people for the past 6 years what was going to happen, how it was going to go down. But, you know, they delusional. And you know what, Black? It didn't surprise me that the boy put his hands up and said he thought he won the fight. Because he is the leader of the delusional people that thought that he was going to beat Floyd Mayweather. It was just ridiculous. This dude is dehydrated. He needs some water. He needs some water. Total water. But, you know, it definitely was a whitewash. I even scored the fight. I gave Pacquiao 3 rounds. You could argue to make it 4, but
that's very generous.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, Black. 2 of those 4 was very generous. You know, the jab was in his face the whole time. The counter right hand kept coming at him, you know what I'm saying? And he kept thinking about, he was having dreams and nightmares about that knockout that Marquez is doing. And I saw Floyd was trying to get that joint. Floyd was trying to get that joint, but the dude would not walk in. He walked into it a couple times, and then he decided not to do it anymore. So I thoroughly enjoyed this fight. I'm so sorry to the people that, you know, spent $100 and did not bet on a dude whose nickname is Money, and you would have got your $100 and more. But, you know, you can't tell these people that. They delusional. And, Vic, I want to know what's up with your what's up with Pacquiao, this statesman, you know what I'm saying, being a total sore loser. Totally disrespectful. I saw classy Floyd. Floyd came on afterwards. He said Manny Pacquiao is a hell of a fighter. He gave him all the respect due. There was no respect due given by Freddie Roach. You know what I'm saying? I seen this. This Bama was all up in Mayweather's gloves and whatnot, and just like he was trying to see if Floyd was cheating and whatnot. Meanwhile, this the same dude that would not take the test. Same dude. Now we talking about he had a injured rotator cuff.
Please.
He out of his mind.
It was Peyton Manning all over again, and we already told him, Mike, if you got an injury, you need to speak up on it before, because we don't
exactly
want to hear
man.
It after.
This is what I don't understand. Right. I don't understand why all these people are upset at Mayweather about this fight. This dude done fought 47 times, and I done watched at least 40 of those 47 fights, and he looked the same way he looked Saturday night.
Well,
the same
okay.
way.
All right. You had 2 minutes. You had 2 minutes. All right. Here we go. Because I got to end this show. You know, I watched the fight. I didn't pay for it, of course. Thank you, Black.
Oh, you're welcome,
but
serving the people since 76.
Of course, of course. But my thought process is, I mean, even Evander Holyfield after the fight on ESPN said he thought Hackett won, because how can you score a fight if no punches are really thrown? Pretty much, you know, that what I saw, I gave actually Pac-Man four or five rounds out of the 12. But after the ninth round, I saw it completely as Mayweather. For whatever reason, I don't know what happened. But let me get into it real quick. There were situations where, to me, Floyd grabbed and held way too much. He put him in a headlock way too much. But he was just quicker than Pac-Man. Pac-Man's fast, Floyd's quick. So even when he got him on the ropes, and Floyd even said it, when he hit me on the ropes, I wanted to see what his power was like, but I decided against it after a few times. Floyd said that. So he knew that he couldn't go in there for the kill or you know, slug with him because he felt Pac's power. He even said his father kept yelling at him and telling him to do certain things, but he didn't want to do them because he didn't want to leave himself open for shots. And I understand that. I understand that. But his father, in my opinion, was trying to tell him you need to prove a point. And that's the part that I think a lot of people are upset about, that, yes, Floyd is an excellent boxer. He is not a slugger, not by a long shot. But if he's going to call himself the very best there ever was and is, don't be such a defensive fighter in a fight where your quote-unquote stiffest competition can fight with you. Not box, but fight with you.
Why should he change what he does best?
I got it. He was delusional regardless. But I think, you know, that was part of the, you know, the coaching from his dad. Him, why aren't you doing it? Because I sat there and listened to the dad yell at him. He was, I mean, literally yelling at Floyd. Floyd, you know, he said it after the fight. You know, his dad wanted to do this, but he felt that he had to fight, and he didn't want to take any chances. Got it. He boxed to win. He didn't box or fight to prove a point. And, you know, I get it. I understand it. But I definitely don't think...
No, I don't think you understand it. I don't think you understand it.
It's a business.
No.
He's not in there. He's not paid by the knockout. He's not paid to prove a point. He's paid to win, and that's what he did. He fought to win.
Right, but see, the part that you're missing is that Floyd only uses what he needs. Pacquiao,
I got it.
No, Pacquiao had to make him knock him out. He had to do that. Pacquiao did not stop that lunging in, Slim. He stopped it. Because he got caught with that straight right hand a couple times. He didn't want it. He did not want it.
So did Floyd.
Very
Floyd got
caught
doing
that.
Got buckled too. Listen, the bottom
line. Yeah, but
line,
he couldn't catch him. But he couldn't catch him.
I know.
Him.
I know.
He couldn't catch
I got
him.
That.
Right.
And
that's the.
No,
no one
debated that.
But wait a minute. That is a basic boxing thing you learn. That's the first thing
I
you learn.
That, Mike.
Black,
Mike,
am I right?
No,
you learn.
No one's
going
to
you
no
are correct.
The
that's
no,
the
no
first
one
thing
is
you learn.
That.
Someone hit his running stuff. I don't want to hear
no,
that.
Guy, the I'm trying to give you the thought process of why people are upset and why they're mad they lost $100. Because they thought they were going to see
it. No, I know. I already know. They delusional. So,
okay, that's fine. But if you're going to call, and this is the mindset again, if you're going to call yourself the best fought. They boxed, but they also fought. And, you know, Roberto Duran, Cesar Chavez, Sugar Ray, Hagler, Hearns,
I'm just talking about in that class. I ain't talking about the heavyweight. That's why a lot of people couldn't
stand
Lewis.
Are you serious? Please don't say Sugar Ray Leonard. Please don't say Sugar Ray Leonard. That's my boy right there. And he went toe-to-toe with Durant, lost, came back the next fight.
Got it.
You know what? I'm not doing that. So miss me.
Got it.
Miss me with
that. Got it. I got it, but at least he did it. At least he did it. That's the point.
And he got it right. And he got a detached retina, and he lost. And he had to come back and fight him again.
The point is, Floyd fought, or he boxed, to win the match, which he did. A lot of people that are boxing fans knew the type of fighter Floyd was and what he might do. A lot of people in boxing said, and still say, if you're going to call yourself the greatest, greater than Muhammad Ali, greater than Mike Tyson, greater than this person and that person, then fight. Boxing is a sweet science, and Floyd is very good at the science. But for entertainment value, he isn't. For entertainment value, he is not. And that is the only argument you got.
That's the only argument you
no,
got.
No,
no,
that's it. No one said that the man was not an excellent boxer. No one said he wasn't probably one of the
and
best
that's
what, boxers.
And that's what he's talking
but
about.
He is not the
hold
best
on, hold
of
on,
all
hold
time.
On. That's, hold on. But that's what he's talking about when he says the best ever. Now, I don't agree with him that he's
not when you name
not
when you name Muhammad Ali.
Not
when you name
Muhammad
Ali,
hold on,
Muhammad
hold
Ali
on,
in there.
Hold on. I don't agree with him when he talks about he's better than Muhammad Ali, but it's a compelling argument. Very compelling. Muhammad Ali took way too many punches. And I love him to death, but you can look at his condition and tell. And also, there is a man that he did not defeat outside of the ring, that Floyd defeated outside of the ring Saturday night. His name is Bob Arum. He defeated him, totally crushed him, took his best cash cow and made him look like a C-class fighter and took the money. Now he's saying, okay, I'll do another rematch, but y'all need to put up the money. That is exactly how he's supposed to be. The best ever.
Listen, it's a business. He did the business thing. No one's mad. I'm not mad at him for doing the business thing. However, when you have a quick fighter versus a fast fighter, the quick fighter with the skill of Mayweather is probably going to win. Because Pat, he's fast.
Victor, it wasn't a quick thing. It was a thing that we always been saying. It's timing. You know what I'm saying? A faster fighter with speed can be beaten with timing. You can look at the Danny Garcia and Amir Khan fight to figure that out. Amir Khan is way faster than Danny Garcia, but Garcia was the one that caught him and dropped him. Then you could go back to
the
Marquez Pacquiao fight. Pacquiao faster than Marquez. Caught him.
Mayweather is quick. Mayweather is not fast. He's quick. Just like when you say there's a fast runner, and there's a quick runner.
Than Pacquiao
listen.
The whole night.
Oh my God. Just listen. In and out of those corners, when Pac-Man got him in the corners and on the ropes. When Pac-Man was teeing off and Mayweather was covering up, that's when he got caught. So
one time in those flurries.
You talking about that left hook? There was like three times he got caught.
Mayweather got caught. But I counted it 20 times when Pacquiao got caught.
We're not comparing that. What I'm saying is, when he was on the ropes, backing up on the ropes, because he did it a lot in the fight, he was taking his angles, and he would quickly duck and dodge or sidestep the punch because he used his reach, just like Lennox Lewis would versus anybody he fought. He would use his reach and get out of the way before the guy could jump in there and throw the
first
guy.
First off, Victor, wait a minute, Victor. If you know anything about boxing, wait a minute. No. No, I'm going to explain something to you because if you know anything about boxing, if you know anything about boxing, you have to control the range. That was what was happening from the first bell. Floyd kept throwing that, putting that left hand out there, measuring the distance. He kept doing it from the
first round, he also held.
It was incumbent on Pacquiao to get past that jab, that right hook, and he had to catch Mayweather. No, man, he had to cut off the ring. He couldn't do it all. He could not
do it. Yes, Michael, that's the point, that Floyd was quicker than Pac-Man. That's the point.
No. Not only was he quicker, he was faster, he was smarter. He made Pacquiao look like a little kid out there.
You know how the big little kids
be picking on the little kids, they take and put their hand on their forehead. That's what they look like. And Pacquiao just swinging. Nah, man, get out of here.
Listen, the only solace, and we are about to get out of here, actually. The only solace of that fight that Pac-Man supporters can have is that he didn't quit when he wasn't able to hit him. He didn't try to make it a dirty fight. In fact, he kept trying to push off of Floyd when Floyd would grab him, and then Floyd would put him in a headlock and stuff like that. Even the referee had to warn Floyd.
He did.
The referee had to warn Floyd several times. To stop holding.
You're right. He didn't try to make it a dirty fight, but he came on after the fight and said he had an injury.
I'm talking about during the fight. He did not try to make it dirty because, you know, making it dirty, you could have got Floyd to fight, but what was he going to do for you if you can't reach him because he's moving?
Madonna was also the bigger man.
Madonna was also the bigger man. There's a difference.
More credit to Floyd. The Bama came in headstrong, swinging everything, doing Muay Thai kicks and everything. He threw the kitchen sink at him because he was trying to come at the champ. Pacquiao ain't do none of that.
Bottom line is, Pacquiao got outboxed. That's what happened.
He got outclassed and outsmarted.
Do I think that a rematch is in order? No. Do I think that Floyd should call himself the best fighter of all time? No. Do I think that Floyd is an excellent boxer? Yes. Because he is a boxer. He understands that.
Listen, can I wrap my show up?
Floyd is an excellent tactician and sweet science fighter. The thing is, in his last fight, coming up in September or whenever he has it, will he fight whomever is selected, or will he box him? When you
after 48 times of watching him, I believe he's going to box.
Mike, when you box him, the people that like, people that know and are comfortable with his style, they're going to buy the fight. They are going to buy the fight. There is no one out there that Floyd can put in the ring right now that piques anybody's interest. They will get him the $100 million. I think he got $220 or something like that when it was all said and done. In his last fight,
Some people say,
and you know why?
Well, Floyd.
You know,
some people say Floyd isn't going to go after Rocky Marciano's record. 49. Is, I mean, if you think about it, you know, Julio Cesar Chavez has the record, but.
Now, actually, he – nah, I mean, he fought a whole bunch of cab drivers and hunters and stuff.
Michael.
Get out of here. You know them.
Michael.
Man, come on, man. You know them
I'm
Mexican
trying
dudes.
To wrap up.
You know them Mexican – you know them Mexican fighters be bloating
I got
up to fight.
I got
to
mute you.
Ball, man.
I got to mute you. I'm trying to finish. So, Floyd does what he does. He is who he is. If you buy the fight, you buy the fight, ladies and gentlemen. You know what you're getting. Is it what you want? Ask yourself. By the fight, I watched it. I saw it happen. Wasn't impressed with his fighting skills, but was impressed with his boxing skills. With that being said, I want to thank you guys for listening to the FSP Crew Show. Next week, Jerry should be back holding it down with Jeff, hopefully back and calling. Maybe even Lance will call in as well. I'm going to go around the horn real quick, briefly, because we're hitting up on our time frame. Give something to the people, Black, and then Lance, and then we're out of here. Black? Lance. Okay. Well, I guess they're not going to drop any knowledge to you. So what I'll tell you is tune in Saturday where it's me along with JK, T, and Money. We're going to go over the week in sports along with some ups and downs in the world of politics. What's going on in Baltimore? Stuff like that. We're going to touch upon those subject matters. Until then, you've been listening to this program right here.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics.